Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
On that, Philippians chapter 3. I like the book of Philippians. It has a lot of richness to it. By the time that Paul writes Philippians, he has some experience. He has some scars. And so what he says comes and flows out of that. It's not like he is naive. It's not like he's just starting off a ministry with these grand ideas and this is the way it should be. It's not just philosophy for him. It flows out of experience. It flows out of his relationship with Christ. It flows out of hardship and flows out of suffering. All right? And so it flows. There's just a lot of richness to the book of Philippians. That is powerful. All right. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 16 of chapter 3. Titled the message, Press On. How many got to go and watch the red-white game a week ago? How many got to go and check that out? Anybody? How many watched it on TV? Anybody watch it on TV? A few of you? Okay. Amy was there with her teammate and got to watch it. One of the things that kind of struck me and why I like to watch sports. But when I was watching it, they had Amir Abdullah, which was a former running back for Nebraska. He's now with the Detroit Lions. So they had him as a co-host commentator. And I'm not sure who the lead commentator was, but they were talking about it. And I just remember one of the conversations. They were talking about one of the running backs. He's in one of the top five there that they utilized on the game day there. But they said, yeah, you know, they were commenting that he was a little hesitant to hit the hole. So as a running back, you want to hit it with confidence. You want to, when the hole is open in the line, you want to get through there, right? And they were just talking about that Amir was just making comments that he seemed to be a little hesitant on that, which if you're hesitant, then you're going to miss the opening there, and there's just like this window of opportunity if you're running back, which I never was. I was the one blocking. But there's that window of opportunity that you have to take advantage of because it's only there for a split second, right? And I was thinking about that, just that issue of confidence and how even in life, how many times are we operating from this position of confidence in a relationship with God or just in how we live our life, or are we operating from this position where we lack confidence or we're unsure, we're hesitant. And so last week we talked about dreams, right? And just as one of the promises that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us from Joel, and then it's repeated in Acts, that just the dreams and the visions, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will dream visions. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit, I believe, wants to impart to us his vision, his dreams, to lead and direct the people of God. Now, when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, when I was a kid, you know, I remember growing up in the church. Okay, some of you don't have that heritage, but I do. But I remember growing up in that and people being prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit to receive that. But the emphasis was usually on that you'd receive the gifts of the Spirit or tongues, speaking in other languages. That was where a lot of the emphasis was, wasn't it? And all that is true and all that is important. But what I see with younger generations is when you talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power, it's not that they disagree with you, but I think there's many times there's a disconnect because they don't see the need for it in their life. And I believe, this is just my thoughts, but these are my thoughts, but the reason why I don't think they see the need is because you have to go back to the dream. And see, when we have a dream, we have a purpose. We have, hey, we're going to go where God has called us to go. We're going to do what he's called us to do. But if we don't have that within our heart by the Holy Spirit, there's no need for the power of the Holy Spirit because we don't have the dream. We don't have this purpose. We don't have this mission that God has called us to. Once we receive that and we try to get out there and do what God has called us to do and we realize it's not enough, then I think that is where we say, God, I need your help in all this. Does that make sense? So I want us to look at Philippians, because Paul, he tried to do some things on his own, and he found out it didn't work out so well. And so I think he illustrates it pretty good for us. So we're going to begin in verse 1, chapter 3, and just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this day. We just thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here with us. I pray you would take your word. It is quick, it is powerful, it is able to speak to our hearts. It is able to help us to live our faith, and we can learn from the life of Paul and from those that have gone before us. We give you the thanks. In your name we ask. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know how much you know about Paul, but Paul grew up as a Jewish man within the church, okay, the Jewish community. And he had a lot of things going for him, as we're going to find out. He was from the right tribe. He was from the right family. He was smart. He had a great education. He was able, he knew several languages. He had a Roman citizenship, which opened up a lot of doors for him as being a Jewish person. And so he had a lot of things going for him as he lived his life. But I think you'll find out that in some ways that was a disadvantage for him. So let's look at this. Verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." We could just stop there, couldn't we? Right? All right? Because there's an exclamation mark. So, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." He's excited. And remember, he's writing this from prison. So that's just a real good reason to rejoice and be glad, right? When you're in prison for your faith, right? But that's where he's writing these words. In fact, you get to chapter 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." And he talks about, "Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." That's why I think there's so much richness in the book of Philippians, because he's learned the key to joy and peace and happiness. It doesn't have to do with our surroundings. It has to do with our relationship with Christ. "It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh." Who in the world is he talking about? He's talking about some of the Jewish community that believe that the only way that a person could be saved is if you were circumcised, okay? And so Paul, being a missionary to the Gentiles, believed that people were saved by faith, okay? Not by through circumcision. And so dogs in our culture probably have, how many have a pet dog? How many have a pet? So you don't see that as a negative light, but back in their culture, dogs were kind of, they weren't seen in the light that they are now, okay? Just you go to, like, when I've been in Belize or Jamaica or Guyana, dogs are outside your house and they're barking, and all they're there for is to let people know that there's an intruder, okay? They are not necessarily pets in the sense that we do. I mean, they look horrible, they're mean, they're... That is what they're talking about here. Verse 3. "For we who are circumcised, we who worship this by God, by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh." Okay, and so when he's talking about confidence in the flesh, in other words, that I am basing my faith, my salvation upon an act that is done for me. Okay, whether it's circumcision, whether it's following the law. Okay. We don't put confidence in the flesh, Paul says, "though I myself have reason for such confidence." Okay? Paul says, you know what? If we're going to go about boasting, and he's kind of comparing himself to some of the other ministers that were ministering during Paul's time. And he goes, you know what? If you want to talk about putting confidence in boasting, he goes, "I got you guys all beat." Let's keep going on verse 4. "If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more." All right? See the challenge here? All right? I know you guys have never done this before, right? You've never, you know, shared stories and saying, that's what we do, right? We tell a story and then you think, oh, I got a better story than you do, right? That's what we sometimes do. I caught a bigger fish, you know, so John and I will talk and, you know, he'll say, well, you haven't seen pictures of my fish. Well, okay. All right. Actually, Barb is the one you have to watch out for. So, all right. So Paul says, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day, just as the law required, right? I'm of the people of Israel, so he is of Jewish heritage. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin, you know, there was this kind of this pecking order. Benjamin was a good tribe to be from. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, so pure, pristine bloodline. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. So he definitely felt like the Pharisees were of better stock than the Sadducees, the other dominant philosophy in Israel. As for zeal, persecuting the church. Okay, remember that? If you read in the book of Acts, Paul would be one of the instruments leading persecution against the church that happens in Acts chapter 8. And he did it because he was certain that he was doing the right thing, that this new movement started by Jesus was corrupting the Jewish faith. And so he took it upon himself to persecute this early church and the believers. And so we know Stephen, for sure, is killed at the hands of Paul. He was stoned to death, and it was at Paul's approval. So Paul was taking this stuff serious. And he had this idea that it was somehow attributing to his salvation and what he was doing for God. He had pure motives in that sense, that he believed what he was doing was right, it was pure, and it was glorifying to God. The first thing that we want to catch here, Paul was putting confidence for his salvation in his flesh, and in who he was, his abilities, his heritage, all that. He was counting on that to get him to heaven and to secure his relationship with God. And so whether your goal is to know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, or you're pursuing other dreams, Paul realized, you know what? I cannot do it on myself, in my own ability. And the first equation we want to catch here is that self-confidence plus action is not enough. So we're going to be a little mathematic today, all right? How many of you like math? All right, a few of you? All right. Self-confidence plus action equals not enough. And see, that's what Paul did. He had self-confidence, and he was putting all his confidence in who he was, his self, right? In his accolades, his accomplishments, his heritage, his drive. And then he acted, right? But guess what? It wasn't enough, was it? It didn't secure him his salvation and his relationship with God. And you know what? It didn't allow him to fulfill his dreams. He thought he was fulfilling his dreams, but it still wasn't enough. And it was leaving him feeling unfulfilled and unhappy. Paul had a dream. He wanted to be powerful. He wanted to be righteous. He wanted to be a leading figure in the Jewish community and society. And he tried to achieve those goals by his own self-confidence and his own ability, his heritage, his zeal, and righteous living. On paper, he looked great, but it wasn't enough. And Paul had a lot going for him, but he also wanted more. And all those things were not enough to save him. They were doing an interview with Tom Brady. Okay, Edwin is not here today. So Edwin and I joke about, because he's a Patriots fan. And so they were doing an interview with Tom Brady, I think it was within the last 2 years. And the lady interviewing him said, you know what, you got all these great accomplishments. You know, they think he's the greatest player of all time, that which, you know, GOAT, I guess. Greatest player of all time, maybe even for a lot of sports. And I think the commentator says, you know, it's just kind of building this up, that he had arrived, and wow, you know, this all this. And he made the comment, he goes, well, I sure hope there is more than this. I sure hope there is more than this. And think about that. Here's a man that has won several Super Bowls, and Edwin could tell me how many. He's had all these accomplishments, you know, and by the world standard, married this model, you know, so he has the model wife, you know, and family. By the world standards, he has it all. But in his own words, he goes, I hope there is more. I hope there is more. See, self-confidence plus action is going to leave you with this feeling of not enough. It's not enough. And if we try to pursue our dreams, even ones that God has placed within our heart, whether they're just dreams from our own heart or the ones that God has placed in our heart, if we try to go about it just with self-confidence and we work with all our heart, you know what? It's still not going to be enough. We're still going to fall short because that's not what God has intended for us to accomplish. So let's look at the next equation, verses 7 through 11. Paul has learned something in this process. He's learned something in his relationship with God. He's learned something from his failures, from his mistakes, from the hardship in life. He says, verse 7, but whatever was to my profit, okay, all these accolades, heritage and zeal, whatever was to my profit I consider loss for the sake of Christ. I'm surrendering that all to him. What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's my number one goal, he says. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness that is of my own, that comes from the law, but is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. He says, I consider all those things rubbish. Now, if you really look in the Greek language, it means like manure. Okay, dung, all right. So what is that? That is waste, right? It's you take in food, that's what comes out, right? It's waste. That's what Paul's saying of his accolades, of his heritage, of his zeal. It's waste, it's manure compared to his faith in Christ. Did you know that? Now, God would use those things in his life, okay? In a lot of ways, he was the perfect missionary because he knew several languages. He had a Roman citizenship that would allow him to go into places that other people could not. And there's times that he had to call upon his Roman citizenship. I think it was actually in Philippi where he would be arrested. And he said, well, you know I'm a Roman citizenship. And then they had to escort him out of town and kind of eat their own words and had to honor him because they had acted too quickly. He had tent-making skills, right? Actually tent-making skills, so that when he went into communities and did not have enough income to support him, he made tents. Did you know that? And so Paul was able to, he was a perfect missionary in a lot of ways, and God would use all of these things in his past, his abilities, his talents, his heritage. But Paul realized that none of that was enough for him to, one, to do what God had called him to do, and one, secondly, to be saved. All right, and Paul says, I've surrendered all that to God. They're rubbish to me. He goes, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. The second principle we want to catch is that surrender, that's what Paul did, right? He surrendered plus what? Surrender plus faith equals enough. So when Paul surrendered his life, his gifts, his talents, he surrendered all that to God, but then he acted in faith, it was enough. Because now he attained a righteousness that was from God and that was enough. And if you look at heaven, Paul says, you know what? He could come before the gates of heaven and say, you know what? I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I know Benny, right? I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Man, you know, I was zealous for the church. And God's going to say, you know what? It's not enough. It's not enough. Because your righteousness is based in who you are and what you've done. But when we surrender all that to God and we act in faith, it's enough. And that is what Paul says. That he goes, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. And he goes, the life I live now, I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. That's found in Galatians chapter 2. That's not on the screen. When we give what we possess to God and surrender to him and place our confidence in him, he is able to accomplish in us and through us what we could not accomplish on our own. And I think whether it's our salvation or pursuing our dreams, many times we go at it with all our ability, all of our talent. We put our heart into it and we find out it just doesn't happen like we'd like it to. But when we surrender those things to God and act in faith, it's enough. And so right now, people are thinking about gardening. The farmers are wanting to get in the fields, right? And what are they going to do? They're going to take thousands and thousands and probably millions if you look at Nebraska. So millions and millions of dollars of seed. And they're going to do what with it? They're going to bury it in the ground. It's going to die there. Isn't it? How stupid is that? But what's going to happen a few weeks later? Life is going to come up. You know, that's what we need to do with our dreams. God gives us dreams. Some of them are within our own hearts. Some of them are right from the heart of God. And when we take those dreams, we need to surrender them to God as if putting them in the soil and say, God, when it's your time, you bring those things to life. Why? Because as much as we would like to think it is our own zeal, it's our own confidence, our own action that's going to make it happen, it's when we surrender those things to God and say, God, you bring those to pass in your time. And we live by faith. Does that make sense? It is true of our salvation and it is true of the things that God puts in our heart. And many times we try to get, because it doesn't happen, and we think, man, we're trying. It's not happening, so then we try harder and then we make mistakes, right? Remember Abraham? He had this dream and he had this promise from God saying, I'm going to make you a man of, you're going to be a father of many nations, and I'm going to bless you and prosper you. Well, he's getting to be 100 years old, and he still has no kids that are his own, right? Actually, he was probably about 90, okay? It still wasn't happening, and he's doing the best he can. It's not happening. So then he goes and gets Hagar, his wife's servant, and they have a child that way, but that wasn't God's plan. So, when they were past the age of childbearing, it says, God shows up, and she conceives with a child, Sarah does, and you have the birth of Isaac, the promise. See, God, as much as he uses our talents, our abilities, who we are, there is no doubt about that. He uses that. But if we are banking on that to be the way that we're going to achieve our goals, our dreams, and our salvation, it's not going to be enough. It's only as we surrender those things to God that it becomes enough. Let's look at the third point. I like Paul's humility. He goes, not that I've obtained all this or I've already been made perfect. Right? Now, I think there was probably a time in Paul's life where he thought he had it all together. He was perfect, right? I think he had that moment. Some of you have had that moment. You think you know it all. I won't point anybody out, okay? I probably felt that way in my own life too. But he says, you know what? I have not been made perfect, but this is what I do. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. It's just that idea that, you know what? God pursues us. And some of the songs that are coming out just in the worship theme talk about God's reckless love, love on the line that we sang this morning, how God reaches out to us, how he loves, talks about God reaching out, hurricane winds. There's actually a lot of truth to those songs because I think we've sometimes have missed that we are the ones pursuing God, and hopefully we are, but in all honesty, God is pursuing us. He's the one that started off pursuing us, and he is loving us with his everlasting love and reaching out to us. And that's what happened in the life of Paul. Paul was not pursuing God. He was trying to be a good Jewish person, right? But he technically wasn't pursuing God. But God found him on that road to Damascus and turned his life upside down. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider myself have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind. He has a short memory, right? And I strain towards what is ahead. And I have a feeling that Paul made a lot of mistakes along the way. In his faith, in his walk with God, he didn't do everything perfectly. But he goes, I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. How would you like to know that you were a murderer and that at your hands, Christian people had died? Even though he had been saved and redeemed, Paul still had that in his background, right? Yeah. Hey, I'm here. I'm your evangelist. You know, I look at my sheet here. Yeah, I'm a murderer. I killed you guys before my previous life, before I came to know Christ. He goes, I forget what is behind. I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal. He uses that word press a lot, doesn't he? I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul was goal-oriented, wasn't he? What was his goal? Verse 10. What was his number one goal? I want to know Christ, right? And then his other goal was that he was called to be a light to the Gentiles. I believe those are the two things that he dedicated his life to. Verse 15, all of this, for all of us who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us not give up what you've already attained. I like Paul's humility in this, and he just realizes, you know what, I'm not perfect. And this is towards the end of his life and his ministry. I mean, there's 2 Timothy was written after this. But he has a lot of scars on his body. I mean, literally and figuratively. He's lived out a lot of life by this time. And the third principle is that faith plus action equals the hope within us. So when we move forward with faith and action combined, those two combined together, it equals the hope within us. And see why Paul was pursuing, he was very driven before Christ. I don't believe he had hope. I don't believe he had joy. He definitely did not have Christ in his life. But now he's surrendered everything to God. He's not putting confidence in who he is, but he's putting his confidence and faith in God. And now he has a faith, he has a hope, because Christ is within his heart, right? Hope is within his heart. Paul moved ahead of faith and action. It led him closer to Jesus, his hope of glory, and it led him closer to accomplishing what God had called him to do. Without a dream, we don't have hope. Goals put our dreams in motion, and faith gives us the confidence that we need to realize those dreams. Let me repeat that. Without a dream, we don't have hope. Goals are the dreams, put our dreams in motion. Okay, they're the mechanism. You can have a dream, but unless you have goals to implement that, it won't happen, right? But we do that with faith and confidence in God to realize those dreams. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we do not see and what we hope for. Dreams and believing God are important. Viktor Frankl, everybody know? Does that ring a bell for anybody? Okay, Victor wrote the book, Man's Search for Meaning. He survived the concentration camps in Germany, a Jewish man. And he had a PhD. But he kind of analyzed people psychologically when he was in the concentration camps. And it kind of was interesting to him, those who died and those who persevered in that. And he noticed that even people that would offer to go into the gas chambers because they couldn't handle suffering, they couldn't handle the persecution. They didn't have any hope, and so they would just surrender their life to end their life. They didn't want to do that because they didn't have a framework of how suffering could serve a higher purpose in their life. Okay? Suffering destroyed their dreams and thus their hope, and they had no reason to live. And Viktor Frankl really pointed out that the importance of dreams and knowing your purpose for life. Because even if you know that, then even suffering and hardship in our life can serve a higher purpose. Did Paul have hardships and difficulties in his life? Absolutely. He's writing this from prison. Why didn't he quit? Why didn't he give up? Because he had the dream, he had the vision, he had the hope that was in Christ. And he understood that even in these hardships, it served a higher purpose for him. It was preparing him. He had a desire to know Christ, and he had a desire to be a light to the Gentiles. And he moved ahead with faith and action, and he realized both of them. He realized those dreams. And Timothy, just go there. 2 Timothy. This is what Paul's response was. I'm kind of just going with it a little bit here this morning. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. This is, as far as we know it, this is the last letter that Paul would write. He says, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there's in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Isn't that good? Paul achieved his goal, and he did it with all of his heart. We all have dreams. So how are you doing in pursuing those dreams? Are you trying to pursue them in your own abilities, your own plans? Or are you allowing God to accomplish those with his power and his strength? Self-confidence plus action is just going to leave you with not enough. Surrender plus faith, though, is enough. And faith plus action equals the hope within us. The hope that our dreams will come to pass largely lie with God. Our human effort and skill will only get us so far. But when we surrender those dreams to God and move ahead with his faith and action, we'll be amazed. In fact, I always want God's anointing. I always want his presence in my life. You know why? Because I know my own limitations. I know my own abilities. But when God is working for me, it's much more than I could ever accomplish. Amen? But we need God's help. It's good for us to, over time, we drift. Did you know that? You drift. And yesterday was a beautiful day, so if you were out on a lake, there was hardly any wind, and you were out in the middle of the lake, even with hardly any wind, I bet you still would have drifted, all right? And one day I was out on a lake, it was called Golden Lake, it was just about 10 miles out of the community where we lived. And my friend and I thought, hey, we're on a Royal Ranger camp out, and so we had these dreams of rowing a boat, and so we got this rowboat, and we got out there. But it was a windy day, it's going to be like today, so it's kind of windy, 20, 30 miles an hour. So that was pretty cool. We drifted across the lake. That was pretty cool. Getting back, that was a different story. I mean, I think there was even white caps, you know, and here we were trying to row, and somebody ended up having to pull us back. But we all drift. It's good for us to go back and quarterly basis, yearly basis, say, God, what are you speaking to my heart and my life? What are the dreams? What is my purpose? Because we can lose sight of that, whether it's in failure or success, we can lose track of that. All those things can cause us to drift from what we are. And sometimes success is even more detrimental to us than failure or difficulties. And we have to refocus and come back to God, what is my plan? What is your purpose for my life? What are the dreams you are instilling in me through your Holy Spirit so that we can stay focused on what he's called us to do? Amen? I'm not going to have the musicians come forward today because I've got a few of them gone today. They're going to play a song. They were playing it earlier. But they're going to play that softly. And what I ask you to do is I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to reflect upon the message. I want you to think about the words of the song. And then just allow the Holy Spirit just to take that and speak to your heart and life this morning. Will you do that? Just close your eyes where you're at if you want to kneel, if you want to sit. But if you would just take a moment, just let God speak to you, and then we'll have a closing prayer. Amen. Father, this morning we just, we submit our dreams, your plans and purposes, Lord, that you've placed within our hearts. And often those things don't come without obstacles, without difficulty. And sometimes we've worked so hard doing the best that we can, and we found out that it's not enough. just as Paul. He had everything going for him, but it just wasn't enough until he found you. And when he placed his faith and his confidence in him, he found a righteousness that was not of himself. He found a hope and a purpose that went far beyond who he was and what he ever dreamed about, Lord. And he found a hope that was able to carry him through some very difficult times, but it led him to Christ, a saving relationship with Christ. And Father, this morning, I know across here we all are in different stages of life and different things that you're accomplishing in our life, but we all have dreams. And Lord, I just pray that you would lead and direct in our lives as only you can. And Lord God, that we can surrender everything to you, we can place it in your hands. Even the dreams that are very dear and precious to us, Lord God, that we've held tightly to, that we can place those in your hands. And as we surrender those things to you with faith, Father, it is enough. And when we move ahead in faith and action, Lord God, you bring those things to fruition in your time. Father, I just pray that your hand may be upon your people today. And we just give this all to you, and we ask it in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you guys would play that song through one more time, softer this time. And if you want prayer, Jay and Gina, would you join me up front? And then Christy, if you need prayer, if you'd make your way, they're going to play that through one more time. And otherwise, you're more than welcome to dismiss. But if you had a prayer request this morning, we wanted to pray with you.